It was when I read about the Jews in Charlottesville that Saturday morning of the white supremacist rally, sneaking out the back door of their synagogue to avoid being seen and possibly attacked for being Jewish, that I first thought, I need to get this necklace. Where is it? There it is. Not this exact one necessarily, but one with a Jewish star on it. It's been many years since I've worn Jewish jewelry. It's not naturally my thing to have personally identifying items on me as I make my way out in the world. And there's a few different reasons for that. I mean, I don't have a TBS bumper sticker on my car, but that's because I don't need the whole world judging the Jewish people based on my driving. You're welcome. I do prefer to avoid the vulnerability that comes from wearing or carrying anything out in public that contains personally identifying information. However, lately, I feel differently. In a world in which it seems increasingly dangerous to be visibly of a minority religion or culture or background or race, it feels increasingly pressing for all of us to comfortably and proudly assert our uniqueness. For the personal well-being that comes from owning with comfort who we are, each finding our own special way in the world, and for the health and strength of our diverse society, a place we see through Jewish eyes as made up of different individuals, each created in the image of God. The Torah calls this holy day Yom Kippurim, in the plural form, the Day of Atonements. Over the centuries, noted Jewish sages point out that there is a Hebrew pun here that contains an unexpected truth. In Hebrew, we would say, Yom Kippurim, the Day of Atonements, sounds just like the phrase Yom Kippurim, a day like Purim, the holiday that's also pronounced Purim. If you know anything about Purim, you would be right to be shocked by the comparison. Yom Kippur is a day like Purim, the holiday of wild parties, drinking, costumes, noisy groggers, overall silliness, and carnivals. Among the many interesting connections that have been made by our rabbis over the centuries between these two days is one very powerful image: costumes, masks, disguises. On Purim, the disguised Queen Esther unmasks herself. She outs herself as a Jew to save the Jewish people of Persia. Afterwards, Esther lives a more truthful life, and the Jews of Persia live with greater security. Yom Kippur is also a time for unmasking, unmasking our souls, increasing our comfort with being and living honestly and fully who we really are. Our tradition has always held this Kol Nidre night as the most holy time of the year. On this sacred night, the gates of heaven and the universe are especially open to prayers. At this sacred hour, our souls are especially open to being touched by holiness and inspiration. It is a time for each of us to ask ourselves, how much of my time and energy am I directing to maintaining a false facade, putting out to the world what I think seems most acceptable? and how much toward being uniquely myself, the self that is best and the most true. I want to share an experience from my own life, not because my story is unique, but rather because the theme of my story is, I believe, universal. When my younger daughter was a high school senior, I prepared to leave Boise for a bigger city in order to return full-time to the rabbinate. I was open to a variety of Jewish settings and roles. I created a series of resume drafts, spoke with interest to many Jewish professionals around the country. The first words of wisdom from out in the field: no one is going to give you a job at your age. Some advised me of this straight up, and others thought I might be able to have a shot at interviews if I did not list any dates on paper or online. Off came college graduation and ordination years and specific years of my professional experience. My LinkedIn profile was clean and my year of birth safely hidden. Then there was the identified problem created by my choice to work part-time so I could focus on raising my girls. I was instructed to take out anything that revealed part-time or volunteer status that would be held against me, and then to remove my girls altogether from the personal line of my resume. Any reference to my being a mother would be taken to mean I hadn't been serious about my professional life. Then there was my address across the top of the resume. Let's not even get started on the fact that I lived in Idaho. My street address included a unit number, an indication I did not own a single family house. There are sometimes economic implications to having an address with a unit number, and I was advised to take it off because it might not look properly rabbinic and professional. As I finally decided to move east to pursue Jewish professional opportunities, and my parents supported and housed me through this time of transition, this was another piece of my story that I was advised to hide from judging ears and eyes. For the purposes of delivering a sermon with a real emotional wallop, I'd like to be able to share one dramatic moment when I finally burst out and proclaimed to the world, "I'm proud of who I am." But nothing that dramatic actually happened. I just gradually realized that there was absolutely nothing shameful about my life and my choices, and I was tired of acting like there was. I had no reason to feel inadequate or less than anyone else because I was born in 1960 and chose to arrange my professional life around my children, and I had neither the resources nor the desire to buy a house, and that I had supportive parents who helped me pursue my dreams. I decided that even though my professional search would take longer and be more difficult, I would no longer live in fear that honest truths about my life would be found out. Of course, you know the story eventually ended happily. I am matched with a wonderful congregation with leadership who assesses people based not on societal prejudices, but through the lens of true Jewish values. Just as my own life story and background shapes me and gives me perspective and brings me unique blessings, each of you has a life story that may possibly vary from some imagined societal ideal, but which is a precious gift. As our sages have taught, Yom Kippurim is a Yom Kippurim. This day, like Purim, is a day for stripping off the masks we wear because of prejudices or insecurities or because we think we should be somebody else. It is a time for honestly embracing ourselves and our choices, for owning who we have been, and looking ahead to a year in which we can draw from the strengths and the lessons of our life stories to shine our unique light in the world. And in this way, Yom Kippur is not only like Purim, but also like Hanukkah. Unfortunately, there are no yummy latkes to eat. But the primary mitzvah, the sacred Jewish responsibility of Hanukkah, is very much in keeping with the spiritual responsibility of this day of Yom Kippur. There are a number of beloved customs around Hanukkah, but the central mitzvah of the festival is a two-parter. Need another prompt. One has a sacred obligation not only to light and bless the Hanukkah candles, but also Pirsum Hanes, to publicize the Hanukkah miracle, by placing the menorah outside or in a window where all the world may see the beauty of its unique and meaningful flames. Our Hanukkah light represents hope when things seem dark. It recalls a story about how a small minority, proudly living our own traditions, struggled to remain strong and free and emerged victorious. And when we place this unique Hanukkah light in a window for the world, we share our message. We believe there is hope that each community and culture and each unique individual can bring their best and illumine the world. I never cease to be moved by true life stories, sometimes shared through books or articles, sometimes through movies, sometimes directly from the person, him or herself. Stories in which someone bravely comes forward, opening up about who they are to a world that may not be ready to hear it, and then goes on to success, paving a path for others like them, creating full acceptance for humanity's diversity. It could be a story from today or from decades past, someone who declared in a restricted workplace that they are Jewish, someone announcing to their loved ones that they are gay or lesbian or transgender, someone speaking publicly about living with depression or other emotional or physical conditions. And of course, there are many people who are unable to hide things that might prompt bias against them due to race or ethnicity or gender or certain physical disabilities that are all visibly obvious. There is no shortage of personal situations that society can stigmatize. When each one of us chooses to live openly and honestly, we stand in solidarity together, helping to encourage and empower others to live as their most authentic selves. A young Muslim woman in a hijab came up to me here in our social hall the night we hosted the Rumi Forum's interfaith panel that included me, a pastor, and a Muslim. The visitor said, "I want to share this story with you." It was a story I found very moving, and with her permission, I share it with you tonight. "I had been feeling isolated, scared, and depressed," said the young woman, originally from Turkey. "I believe in wearing my headscarf, and yet whenever I would be out in public, people would give me nasty looks or even say rude things to me. Sometimes I even feared for my physical safety. I came home one day and told my husband, 'I'm not sure I can keep doing this. It is just wearing me down.' One day, soon after, I'm out walking in the city, and I see two men go by who are wearing kippahs, walking and talking with confidence, very publicly, displaying on their heads the symbol of their Jewish religion. It brought me joy and courage. If they can do it, then so can I. And from that day, I have drawn strength from those Jewish men to wear my own religious symbol out in the world. Just this week, I walked into Panera wearing one of my Jewish stars around my neck and was aware of my self-consciousness about it. Clearly, I'm someone who's proud of being Jewish and not embarrassed by it, but I really prefer to be more personally anonymous and under the radar when I'm out in public, and it was a little bit of self-disclosure, a little more than I was comfortable with. But in a very small way, it brought me sensitivity for those whose status as a minority can't be hidden. It brought me sensitivity for those of ours and all religions and ethnicities who feel personally called by their beliefs or backgrounds to dress in a certain way. It brought me awareness that our world is not yet at the point where every individual can freely and fully and safely shine their unique light out in the world. May our honest prayer and self-reflection on this Yom Kippur help each of us to find the peace, the comfort, and the grounding that comes from living our best and true selves, inwardly and outwardly. And may each of our unique lights shine brightly for us, for our community, for all of our neighbors, as we, like a Hanukkah Shamash candle, share the light of respect, compassion, and hope with each other and the world. Kenihi Ratzon. May this be God's will.